Good evening. Tonight I stand in the place of Pastor Stan, and it's great to be able to share the Word of God with you. We trust we're going to have a blessed time. Amen. I'm going to start with Nehemiah. I've just been preaching in the prison for this last 5 weeks, and four times I've just spoken about Nehemiah, about being wall builders. And I just can't get that story out of my mind at all. And we're not going to read the whole of Nehemiah. I'm just going to talk quite a bit of this stuff through with you. And you're probably going to be very lucky tonight and get out pretty early. Amen? Does that sound like a good idea? But sometimes I can talk for a long time. Okay, when we see here in Nehemiah chapter 1 that his brethren from Jerusalem came, and verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the provinces are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem has broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. He had received this bad report about the walls of Jerusalem being broken, being burnt down, and it was very distressful for him. And the first thing Nehemiah did, verse 4, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I prayed and I said, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your ears open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We see here that Nehemiah had this, he was so compassionate. His heart was just breaking for his fellow countrymen in Jerusalem, whose walls were burned. They had no protection against the enemy because the enemy could just come through those walls and just do to them whatever they wanted to. And the first thing Nehemiah did, he prayed. He prayed. He was earnest. He found a cause greater than his own cause. And I think that's very important when we are in a time of stress, when we are in a time of trial or tribulation, or when it just feels like the whole world is crashing round about down us. We need to find a cause that is bigger than what we are. And this is what Nehemiah did. And he prayed out to God. It was an earnest prayer. It was full of compassion. And you know, that compassion led to determination that he was going to do something about this. And when we carry on reading all those verses there, we see that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. He was willing to lay down his life for his king. He had to taste the king's wine. And if he lived, the king would be happy and he could drink the wine. But if he didn't live, if Nehemiah died, the king knew he wouldn't touch that wine. And you know, this is the same with us. God is calling us to lay our lives down for him and his plans and purposes for our lives. Because we are a part of building the kingdom. We're a part of building the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. And I think very often we might have family situations, we might have work situations, our country needs a miracle, the world needs a miracle. There's turmoil everywhere. The walls are broken down all over the place, and they need to be rebuilt. They need to come together. And so when we carry on reading in chapter 2, it would just take forever, but the king could see that something was troubling Nehemiah. And he said to him, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? You don't normally have such a long face. What's up with you? And you know, this is with us too. If we have problems, if we have troubles, if things are really pulling us down, our Father sees that. He knows that. And he wants us to come to him and bring our problem, bring our situation to him. Because he wants to work in our lives. He wants to work on our behalf. And we see there that Nehemiah, he told the king what was the problem, and he said, but king, I need you to release me. I need you to release me because I need to go back to my fellow countrymen and help them to rebuild the wall. Now that was a real big thing for Nehemiah to ask the king to release him. Because you know, you did not ask the king for those kind of things in those days. If you were working for the king, you just did what the king told you to do and you carried on with that. But Nehemiah's compassion for this cause greater than his own cause was so great, he wanted to do something. And he said, King, you've got to give me letters so that wherever I go, I can ask the people to give me all the materials that I need to rebuild the walls. And that's with us exactly the same thing. When we are determined to rebuild broken walls, God has already given us the materials. He's given us salvation. He's given us hope in Christ Jesus. He's given us new life in Christ Jesus. He's given us all the giftings and the callings that we need to do his work. We see there that Nehemiah, when he got to Jerusalem, he went by night to go and assess the situation. He did not take a lot of people with him. And once he had assessed the situation and he knew what was going on, then he told the people. You know, very often we need to assess our situation in the presence of God and not go blabbing to everybody about it. Does that make sense? You see, Nehemiah was determined he was going to hear God's answer. He was going to hear God's plan, what to do. And this is what we need to do too, is be determined that we're going to hear God's plan, because we want to be builders. Amen? We want to be builders. That's what God's called us to do. And then chapter 2, verse 17. Then he said to the officials, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. They recognized that this was God's plan. They recognized that God was in the midst of these instructions for Nehemiah to build the walls. And when we are in the midst of God's plan, if we are following the instructions of the word of God, we will be able to say, come, let us rise. Come, let us build. For we have a mind to work. We have a mind to build. And you know, to me, I just love the teachings on the different parts of the body of Christ. We've all been given giftings and talents. We've all got a calling of God in our lives. Every single one has got a talent. Every single one has an ability that they can do, that they can be active in. You see, God is an active God. He spoke the word and the world came into being. And he speaks his word into our lives. And he says, I've put all the stuff within you that I need for you to use to be the builder that I've called you to be. See, God, he says to us in Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. We're heirs of the Father, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's God's put all that good stuff within us to be his wall builders, to reach out to other people. That's what he's called us to do, is to reach out to other people. There might be somebody that we know whose whole world is falling apart, whose whole world has crumbled in around them. And we need to reach out to that person or to those people. But we don't do it until we've heard the directions from God. And so we see here that Nehemiah said to them, let's build. He was so confident in God. He trusted in God completely. And because of his confidence in God, because of his trust in God, he could motivate the people to go forth and build. You see, some of us are called to be motivators. Each one of us has got something that we can do for the extension of the kingdom of God. Each one of us has got something we can do to help others. We have known Pastor Stan and Michelle since 1985 from Africa, from Zimbabwe. And we had churches in Zimbabwe and Mozambique. And Pastor Stan used to come out regularly to come and help us train the nationals. And the one time, Lane came with, well, the family came, but Lane was only 5 or 6. He was very, very young. But he had a passion in his heart to reach those kids. He couldn't speak their language. They couldn't speak his language. But do you know that he had this mighty rapport with those kids that for years, they kept asking, when is Lane coming back? They couldn't understand each other. But it was the love of Christ in their hearts that drew them to each other. Lane, along with Ben Davis, Ben was Goliath and Elaine was David. And Laura was something. I can't remember. I should have asked Laura. She was the narrator or something. But this was such a powerful ministry to everybody. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people at this convention. But Lane touched many hearts. Don't ever, ever underestimate what a child can do to touch lives, to change lives. We must never underestimate the kids. Amen. And then Laura also, and this was quite crazy. She and another girl from England, Emma, when we go on missions trips, we don't always know what we're going to eat. It's not the best kind of food. We eat what they give us. And you just pray God's blessing on the food and thank God for the food. But they offered Emma and Laura cane rat. I don't know if you know what a cane rat is, but it's like a rat and it's huge. It's a huge thing. It looks like a baby rabbit. But Laura and Emma ate some of the cane rat. And just in that simple gesture, that spoke to the people. It really spoke to them about Christ's love. That here were these people from England and America willing to come and eat the stuff. I did not eat it. I was not going to eat no cane rat, thank you. But they did. Remember, Laura, you ate the cane rat. She's just... but it's just when we go out into the unknown, we don't always know what God's going to expect of us. So that's my point there. When we must be willing to get out of our box. We must be willing to get out of our comfort zone and say, yes, Lord, I will go. But I'm not going to eat a cane rat, but I will do other things. Amen? And but this is what, it's just too often we think it's only the people who preach behind the pulpit. It's only the Sunday school teachers that can influence people. It's not. It's everybody. That's why I gave you those two very extreme examples. Those people touch the lives of people. And they, for years, they spoke about those incidents. You see, each one of us can touch lives in our way, in the way that God's given us the ability to touch lives. Does that make sense? Because in that way, we can help to build walls. We can help to restore people's lives. And so we see here that Nehemiah, he encouraged the people, he motivated them and said to them, let's rise up and build. And they set their hands to build. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. So in spite of being mocked and ridiculed, in spite of being pulled down, in spite of being told that they'd never accomplish it, in spite of all the stuff, negativity coming against them, they still set their minds to build. What to me, Nehemiah is so full of challenges and opportunities. And just to show us how God is with us, if we are determined to do something, he will help us. He will see us through. And then we see there in Nehemiah chapter 3, all the people had their spots where they were building. This family built here, that family built there, that family built there, that family built there. And they all were united together, determined to build the wall. To me, that's a wonderful picture of unity, of how unity in the church is, where we are determined to do what we can to build the wall, to build the church for Jesus Christ. And we do it through our different giftings and our different talents, our different abilities. Another one of my favorite ministries is food pantry. Now, I know there's some people who cannot work in the food pantry for various reasons. You know, when Nehemiah came before God and he said, God, we have sinned. We have fallen short. Forgive us. There was no finger pointing. There was no self-justification. There was no belittling others, no mocking others. Nehemiah said, we have sinned. We have failed you, but we are determined to build your wall. We do not need to judge or criticize or condemn anybody who doesn't have the same vision or feeling for the ministry that we have. Amen. Each one of us is fulfilled in their own calling. And you know, this even extends to the workplace. You're an awesome beacon of light, an awesome beacon, a ray of hope in the lives of people at work. People see how you react to situations. People see how you react to your co-workers. And in that, they can speak. It's wall building. It's reaching people where you're at, where we're comfortable. And so we see then, chapter 3, that they had great unity and they built it. And then in chapter 6, there was this great conspiracy against Sanballat. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left it, though at that time I had not yet hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages of the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messages to them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me a message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. See, when we are about God's business, when we are about doing the things that we know God's told us to do, there will be the naysayers. There will be the people who will try and criticize us and who might try to stop us from doing the work. And we just say to them, forget it. I know what I'm doing is God's work, and that's where I'm committed. Forget it. I'm going to carry on doing what I know God has told me to do. And this is, we just need to be able to challenge our enemies, challenge those who would try and pull us down and say, forget it. I'm not falling victim to your negativity. There's just so much. I just love Nehemiah's positive attitude. He was going to go through with this. Even when Sanballat and all those other guys tried to stop them. And verse 9 says, for they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. See, Nehemiah was so determined that he was going to do this work that even when these enemies were trying to pull him down, were trying to weaken his resolve, were trying to crush his determination, he still said to them, no ways, I'm going to do it. And I ask God to strengthen my hand. There are times when we need to just stop what we're doing and just say, Lord, I need you to strengthen me in this time of distress, in this time of weakness, in this time of doubt, when I'm doubting, or, you know, just anything that's not good. We need to sometimes just take a break and say, no, Lord, I need to be strengthened. I need to be helped. Amen? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with admitting that we're weak. There's nothing wrong with admitting we're fearful. But this is why the Bible teaches us where two or more pray together, it's done. There are times when we need to get together with other people and just pray. Nehemiah did. He had all those guys, and they prayed. And so he asked God to strengthen them. And verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 28th day of Elul, in 52 days. That's amazing that that wall was finished in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. People need to perceive that what we are doing is done by God. We have to be so careful that we never take any glory or honor for ourselves. We have to be careful that if somebody tries to say, well, just tries to elevate us or anything like that, we just need to point them to Jesus. Amen? It's good to be thanked. It's good to be recognized. It's good to be honored. But above all, we must turn people's eyes and focus and attention onto Jesus. Because, you know, He's the master builder. Jesus is the builder. He's a chief cornerstone. He's the very foundation that He needs for our building. Jesus needs materials for us to be His builders. That might sound a little bit strange. When Jesus is the master builder, He's a chief cornerstone and He's a very foundation. He's building His temple, He's building His church. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, some water, some plant, some water, and God increases. We have to give God something to increase in our lives. We have to be about sowing seeds of hope, sowing seeds of life into other people's lives. Somebody needs to be watering those seeds so that God can bring an increase, so that He can build His temple, so that He can build His kingdom. We are the ones. When I say God is looking for materials, we are the ones who need to be supplying those materials to God for Him to build His kingdom. Am I confusing you a bit here? It's our talents, it's our abilities, it's our willingness to work. It's our devotion and our commitment and our dedication to prayer, to service, to doing things for God. Because He wants to bring increase in the lives of people. But we are the ones who must do the sowing of the Word of God. We must sow the love of Jesus Christ. We must sow hope in Jesus Christ. We must sow the fact that there's victory in the name of Jesus. We must sow the fact that there's salvation in the name of Jesus. Somebody else will come along and nurture that seed, encourage that seed, plant that seed. Sometimes we plant a seed. And we think, oh boy, did I waste my time? Anybody ever done that? Just spent some time with somebody and you just feel like a brick wall went up. And we must never get despondent. It's not our job to get despondent. Our job is to sow the Word of God. Our job is maybe to water the Word of God in whatever way possible. Because God is wanting to build His kingdom. And we are a part of that. We are part of the Master's builders. That's who we are. We must give Him stuff to build on. And I know there are many other ways that He can increase His kingdom as well. But just my heart is just for us to be a part of the builders that build the wall of Jerusalem. We are to be a part of the kingdom of God who will instill hope and love and victory in the lives of people. That's who we are. We don't have to go to college or university or seminary or anything to be able to do that. He's already put that stuff inside of us. All we need to do is say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing to be used by You. Do I always understand how I'm going to be used? No. Do I always know how I'm going to be used? No. I'll tell you a little story. I used to be one of the shyest, most quietest, most mouse-like people you could ever know. I always used to be in a corner. I never opened my mouth anywhere. And people don't believe that. But when I found Jesus, I suddenly became very voluble. And this is us. When we are determined that we're going to serve Christ, no matter what, He will help us into the area that He has planned for us and prepared us for. Amen. He's looking for builders. Are we prepared to be a builder today? Are we prepared to bring building materials into the house of God by loving somebody, encouraging somebody, uplifting somebody, making a phone call? All that kind of stuff is what can help the kingdom to be built. And this is what God is wanting us to do. You know, something that has blessed us very much, we have been a part of, Pastor Stan and Michelle have been in our lives since 1985. That's many years ago. We have always been very blessed where they have this vision for nation building, for building the walls. They go into Zimbabwe, into Mozambique, into... I keep forgetting where Todd Powers goes and those other guys, but you know it's in the Middle East. And they've been to India. We had that fantastic speaker here a few Sundays ago just to hear what they're doing. And you know why they can do that? It's because we are supporting them. Cornerstone Church is supporting them. Some of our tithes and offerings goes to them to help them. See, we're a part of building their wall. We're not there physically. We don't go there ourselves. And yet we're a very important part of building those walls. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here tonight? Each one of us is part of that wall building situation. You know, I don't know how many orphans Cornerstone Church supports, but we have an orphanage in Zimbabwe, and I do not remember. We've been out of there since 2006, but we went back in 2010. But I've lost count of how many kids. In our orphanage, when the kids reach 18, they have to leave. But hundreds of orphans have gone through our little orphanage as well. Friends, this is what wall building's all about. This is how we are reaching the lives of other people. You see, some people visibly are wall builders. Other people are wall builders. Our finances that are going into those areas, we don't see it, except if that speaker comes to speak, except if Todd Powers comes and shows us his slides, or Pastor Stan comes back from India and shows us some slides or whatever it is. Do you call them slides? I'm from the old people, from the longer times. But my grandkids always tell me I need to get modernized, but it's tough. I just get by with how I am. Anyways, but do you see how my heart is just for us as Cornerstone Church to be wall builders in whatever way we can be a wall builder. And to me, it's just so exciting that we can touch the lives of kids thousands and thousands of miles away that we never see. But we don't do it because we want to see. We do it because we've sowed the seed and somebody else is watering and nurturing those lives. Because God can bring an increase into their lives. So this is just how the circle goes. Friends, we are called to be wall builders. And I would just encourage each one of us just to say, God, what do you want me to do? I've given you some examples of how we can build walls. We don't all have to be upfront people. Some of us are people that are very invisible and yet very, very important as well. Those people in India, in Africa, in Asia, whose lives are being touched and changed by Cornerstone Church, we don't see that. But friends, we planted the seed through our tithes and offerings. Others are watering it so God can bring the increase. So, there's just so much in the book of Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah, that has just challenged my heart so much. So this is the fifth time I'm speaking on Nehemiah. And I know I can talk lots more again because I just know without a shadow of a doubt that God is calling us to be builders. This is the season for building in whatever way we are willing to be used. We need that compassion. We need that determination. We need that dedication and said, Lord, I'm available. Just as I am, I'm available to do your bidding, to go out and be a wall builder. Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I just thank you that you have called us all to your plans and purposes in our lives. You have great plans for each one of us, and I want to thank you for that tonight. I ask that you would help each one listening here tonight, to be able to just say, yes, Lord, I'm available, I'm ready. And I thank you that as I seek after you, as I seek your face, as I spend time with you, Lord, you will direct my footsteps. You will show me what to do. And Lord, I am willing to work in unity with whatever plans and purposes you have for Cornerstone Church. Father, bless each person tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.